I heard the challenge Woods threw down about proving that he was smarter than I am. And
Right, sure.
I feel like this is a passage that doesn't require a lot in the way of smarts. It's one that's more just
So, like, I didn't tell
exaltation and then
Woods,
put into practice. Yeah.
But, like, we all know you're smarter. Like, it's okay.
We do. And that's why my real task is to prove that I'm also funnier.
Welcome to This Bible Podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in.
My name is Michael Precht. I'm the senior pastor at Dauphin Way United Methodist Church in Mobile, Alabama. Been here about 3 years. I identify by my relationships. So I am an elder in the United Methodist Church. I'm in a covenant relationship with the United Methodist Church. I am the husband of Jennifer Precht, father of Lakin and Elsa and Evelyn and Ian. And I am pastor to a wonderful church in Mobile, Alabama. And I am incredibly privileged to be the undeserving friend of Sam Lewis. So yeah, that's how I identify through the amazing relationships in my life. Son of Dave and Linda, brother of Catherine and Joseph and their families. And then pronouns he and him. From the NRSV translation of Luke chapter 6, no good tree bears good fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. It's the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So what do you do with this? Where do you go?
Well, first thing I do, and it's a thing that would get me thrown out of any exegetical class, out of any seminary class on the study of this, but I cannot help hear this and think immediately of the book of Galatians. I'm a very intertextual interpreter of scripture. I'm always, it's always reminding me of some other scripture. And we know that that Paul talks about what he received firsthand and received from the Lord. And so I cannot help but think that somewhere along the line, someone mentioned this teaching from Jesus to Paul when he's writing to the Galatians in chapter 5 about the fruits of the Spirit. For whatever reason, this fruit imagery just seems to have been really important in a variety of contexts. I know in the book of Colossians, Paul is also talking about bearing fruit, and he knows that church by their fruit. So for whatever reason, this seems to have been a really formative image, not just in this one sermon, but for a lot of the early church. And in Galatians 5, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, all right, Galatians, I know you're having a hard time knowing what's right and what's not, like knowing what of the law is still valid and what is not, and what direction do you have for your life? And he says to them, basically, it boils down to this. You'll know the Spirit shows up when you see its fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against those things, there is no law. And so there, I read that back into here, into this passage, and saying as a little bit of a discourse on what I think is clearly in this passage, Jesus saying you're going to know things by the result, by what they bring about. You know, Galatians gives a specific fruit to look for: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But here Jesus is setting the precedent for that idea of you're going to do discernment by seeing the results. And the results you're looking for, again, referring to Galatians, not going to be, did it make me money? It's not going to be, did my hair grow back? It's not going to be, you know, whatever result we might look for in a lot of the rest of our lives. It's about the character it produces. And I think that's a word, again, about, to those of us in the the business of spirituality, the professional Christians alongside all other Christians, to say, it's not about, was your sermon clever enough? Was your interpretation of scripture, scholastically rigorous enough or relatable enough and relevant enough? The fundamental question is it producing fruit? Is it producing this character from people? And it encourages me to be results-based and think about character. That's my starting point when I read this. I can never read this passage without remembering a time that I was at a continuing education thing with Tim Keel, pastor of one of the early emergent churches, an artist-friendly church in Kansas City. And he talked about after leading that church for 10 years and feeling like we needed to do more, accomplish more of those inputs. He was reading this passage from Jesus and also reading some of the Psalms about those who abide in God's word are like a tree planted beside good water. And he talked about, an apple tree does not sit there and start to strive to produce apples, right? It doesn't sit there and it's like, okay, I'm going to maximize my productivity and I'm going to flex my xylem and phloem a little bit more today. And so now I'm going to make good apples. No, an apple tree just abides in good soil,
yeah,
and in good water. And so when looking at, is there good fruit coming out of me? If the answer is no, if I find myself saying I have not produced a whole lot of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the answer is probably not for me to try harder tomorrow. The answer is to ask, where am I abiding? And that answer can, the things that I could abide in can have multiple answers. Could be community, could be silence, could be scripture. Above all, ultimately it is, am I abiding in the love of God and in the work Christ has done for me? Because I have it as a strong conviction that the best things about us come out when we know what Christ has already done. It's not about trying harder. It's about believing more fully. Oh yeah, I really am free.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I really am forgiven. Oh yeah, I really don't have to be afraid. How many of my failings, my bad fruit I produce comes out of a fear of futility? I'm not going to make the most out of my life. I'm not going to justify my life. So I take a shortcut and along the way I hurt somebody. But when I can truly abide in the, okay, nope, I don't have to justify my life. Christ has justified me already. I don't have to fear death because Christ has overcome the grave. I don't have to fear all these things because of what Christ said. When I can abide in that, just draw on it like a tree draws from water, that's where I then have enough trust to be able to respond to people in a loving way, a joyful way, a peaceful, patient, kind, gentle, and self-controlled way. It doesn't come from like, okay, today I'm going to be more.
Right. But I will say that is too often my technique, right? It's like, if I will myself to be good,
yeah,
I can,
yeah,
and I have a very specific list of things that make you good, right? Uh-huh. If I do those things, then I can be a good person. Uh-huh. And then I screw them up, turns out, all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think about all the time and sometimes use it as if it's my own. You used to tell students, like, and they were like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cuss in front of you. And you're like, I don't care if you cuss in front of me. I don't want you to act better. I want you to be better. Yeah. Right. It's not about the actions. It's about how we are allowing ourselves to be shaped.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely prefer to know the real who you are. That's another fundamental conviction, is that if we can just get to the place where we're honest about who we are, that's how God changes us. It's not by us trying to be better. It is by letting that sunlight in, being honest about who we are, being real about who we are, confessing our sin without excuse, without justification, and then bringing that into the light. The light can do tremendous transformational work.
And it's such a gift for me to be able to say, like, I've done this and I can't make a justification for it. And so I'm just bringing it to you, God. And for God to say, like, thanks for letting me know. I mean, I already knew, but thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it matters that you did that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now you're forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's one of the greatest gifts.
It really is. Yeah. The sin is real. And here's the mercy.
Yeah.
Look how much bigger it is. Look how much it overwhelms it. This is a totally perhaps tangential one, but this came up in a Sunday school I was teaching recently. There's a study that's been replicated a couple different times in sociology and in teaching sciences around students who hear a great lecture on a topic, and then a representatively equal group of students who have to engage the topic through like small group discussion and exercises. And if you do the two and you have a great lecturer, the people who hear the great lecture will walk out feeling as though they have learned more than the people who did the small group exercise and the conversation, because that lecturer conveys it with such confidence and such competence that the confidence and competence prove contagious. And the students who walk out feel just as courageous and contagious and confident in it. And then they do worse on the test. The students who engage it instead through the hard way that makes them aware of their own shortcoming, they take the test and they do better. And so the question is, like, when you're evaluating how you're doing, when you're trying to look at your life and say, am I growing? Am I abiding in Christ? There are times when we may be feeling more confident, more bold in it. And if we asked anyone around us, they'd say, you are a lot less self-controlled than you used to be, right? Like, this confidence has led you to just YOLO everything. So I think that does speak to, if the fruits of the Spirit is the real question of who we are and of whether the Spirit abides in us, it also invites us to ask people around us who know us well, like, you know, I've been feeling really great about this, or I've been feeling really down, or I feel like I'm frustrated, like I'm not making any progress. What do you see? Is there more love, joy, all the rest of the fruits of the Spirit? They may be a better evaluator for us than even our own selves sometimes.
Absolutely. I think that's spot on. I think this is a really good word for me today to, you know, I have a huge task list, and I have a lot of ways that I, you know, have determined to be, but I think I am hearing through this God's call for me to abide in God. And
absolutely,
in that way, the fruit will come. As long as it's got good soil, good water.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, we just got to keep remembering that the victory's already won, right?
Right.
The Christ is conquered. We don't have to save ourselves or the world, but we get to participate in it. We get to come alongside it, and we get to abide in that. And then if we wonder, am I abiding in the things that went out? The ultimate question is not, what success did it have today? But it's a question of what love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control did it produce today? Those are, abiding. Turns out it does a lot more for us than all our striving ever could.
Will you pray for us, friend?
Of course. Be honored to. God, we thank you for the friendships in which we abide, for those people who know our minds well enough to affirm us absolutely and to push us when we need it. We thank you for your word in which we can come together, in which we find common ground for friendship and for the task of seeking you. We thank you for the words of our Savior and our Lord that remind us that you do produce good things, that it is not all futile, but that the good work comes, the good fruit comes, not by our striving and not by our work, and instead simply by abiding in you. May we continue to do so, and may we do so with the confidence that comes not in our own selves, but in who you are. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for being here.
Hey, it's fun. for those who are listening to the director's cut, that this won't make it in. My original plan was to introduce myself as Rosemary's granddaughter, the spitting image of my father. And when the day is done, my mom is still my biggest fan. But I suspected there are not many Jessica Andrews fans who remember the one-hit country wonders of the late aughts. So I decided to play it straight.
Well, that's where you and I differ. I rarely play it straight.